Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. For many weeks, since Brother Bennett asked me to preach, I felt comfortable and I felt sure about what the Lord wanted me to preach on Friday night of the meeting. Then Monday rolled around, and he goes, "No, that's not the one." I had no idea I'd be preaching from this text tonight. I preached from this text last Sunday at home, and I had no idea or any intention to be bringing this passage of Scripture before us, but that's what the Lord's laid upon our heart. We pray He'll bless, He'll be pleased. It is actually, you're probably not supposed to have favorites, but it's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It has meant so much to me over the years, and it seems to mean even more to me now. I thought about Brother Guiley's singing, and that's what I'm trusting. When I need it, He'll give me more grace. He'll give me grace I've not needed before, because I've not been here before. When I get to that place, He'll give me new grace. And this passage of Scripture is along those lines. It's a message, I believe, of encouragement. And God's people need encouraging in these days. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 4. We'll eventually look at verse 6, but 1 through 4 for our text. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." We want to preach on the subject we would entitle Heavenly Therapy. Heavenly Therapy. In the last few years, we've gotten real familiar with that term, therapy. It was always something other people went through. It was always something older folks went through. But we've gotten personally acquainted with that term, therapy. I looked the definition up in the Webster Dictionary. And therapy is a treatment that helps someone feel better or grow stronger. Therapy is a treatment that helps somebody feel better or grow stronger. Another definition is it's a method of treating disease. And the Lord is dealing with the disease here amongst the disciples. They had troubled hearts. They had disturbed hearts. The Lord is telling them, the Lord is preparing them for His crucifixion. And they didn't understand all of that. He was preparing them for His resurrection. And they didn't seem to understand that until after the fact. He was preparing them for His departure. And there were many things troubling the hearts of the disciples. And Jesus Christ comes to them with some heavenly therapy. Amen. He comes to them with a treatment that'll make them feel better, that'll make them grow stronger. He comes to them with the subject of heaven. And heaven's one of those subjects we think of, well, what's new there? We've all heard about heaven for years and years and years. But are we tired of hearing about heaven? Jesus Christ, in his preparation to depart, spoke to the disciples about heaven. Was it not appropriate? Was it not a needed subject? Do we not need to hear about heaven in 2023 in these rotten days in which we're living? And I don't apologize, I said it before services. I believe, it is my conviction, we're living in a time far worse in the United States of America, far worse than Sodom and Gomorrah ever knew. These are troubling times. These are times when these wicked things are not only going on, but they're being mandated and they're being forced upon us. And I believe a day is upon us when our churches are going to be scrutinized for stands on these things. We're going to be called hate mongers. No telling what awaits us if we continue to stand. The disciples were troubled. And the Lord comes to them saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You believe in God, you believe what God's word says. Believe in me, believe what I have to say." Well, what did Jesus have to say? "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." And I like what he said there. "That where I am, there ye may be also." Heaven is real. And we can't be too heavenly minded. And we need to be heavenly minded in the days in which we're living. We need to keep our eyes on heaven. We need to keep our eyes upon those skies. And soon our Savior is going to appear to take us to be with him. My convictions, my beliefs may be different from yours. But I see a day on earth when the Lord's going to have a millennial kingdom. And he's going to rule and he's going to reign for 1,000 years upon this earth from the throne of David. Amen. And that's following the rapture. Amen. The rapture in which we go up to be with the Lord. And I like that thought, forever to be with the Lord. Once the rapture takes place, I see my place wherever the Lord is. So he's going to be on earth one day ruling and reigning, and then his people are going to be with him. There's a new heaven and there's a new earth coming. This new heaven and new earth is going to be occupied by his people, and eternity is ushered in. So you find a lot of different places there where the Lord is and where his people are with him. And it can get confusing. Well, don't be confused. Because any one of those other places that are found in Scripture, any of those other places where we might find ourselves one day, rest assured, everybody is going to go through heaven to get there. Heaven is important. "I go to prepare a place for you." Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 3, 4, and 5. By inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul writes, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, you Colossians, the church of Colossae, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints." Now connect that thought in verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then go to verse 5. For the hope. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, Amen. Whereof ye heard before in the word of truth, the gospel. Amen. The Colossians had the hope of heaven. The Apostle Paul thanked God for their testimony, for their reputation, for the Lord's working there, for the Lord's saving there. He gave thanks for the hope that the Lord had deposited with the Colossians that's laid up for them in heaven. You know chapter 3 well, Colossians. Verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory." Amen. We're going to appear with him in glory. And if you're risen with Christ and you know Christ as your Savior, you're going to be there with him in glory. Heaven is your future. Let us seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the Father. Set your affections on things which are above. And you know the saying, you've heard it often, some of God's people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Well, looking back over 45 years in the ministry, I don't think I have found one yet that's too heavenly minded. Problem with God's people is they're too worldly minded. They're too earthly minded. We need to be heavenly minded. That's a hope, steadfast and sure. 1 Peter chapter 1, Holy Spirit, writing through Peter, writes in verse number 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." He has begotten us again unto a living hope. A living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But notice verse number 4. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven." Reserved in heaven for you. Heavenly therapy. The Lord wants to calm the disciples. He calls them to not let their hearts be troubled. For them to believe him, to hear what he has to say, and he spoke of heaven. He spoke of his Father's house. He spoke of going to prayer place for them. He promised he would come again, receive them unto himself, and he promised that one day where he was, they would be also. That's very therapeutic. That's very helpful. That'll encourage us, help us feel better. Come what may in this life, heaven awaits God's people. We're all going to one day be in the presence of the Lord. I can get excited. A Baptist can get excited. When I get into the book of Revelation and I see all the saints gathered around the throne, that's exciting. Got a little carried away maybe in my thoughts. But as John saw all of those saved folks gathered around the throne, I read this guy who said, you know, if you're saved, you're going to be there. And he just made a statement, I wonder if John saw you. That's crazy, isn't it? But if we're one of his and we're truly saved, he's promised to one day come and take us to be with him. He's promised to gather us around the throne. And we're going to be there. Thoughts of heaven. I go back to John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We need to think about heaven. Thinking about heaven will calm your soul. It'll settle a troubled heart. Thinking about heaven is beneficial to God's people, first of all, because God is there. God is there. In my Father's house, in my Father's abode, in my Father's dwelling place, Jesus knew God dwelt on the throne of heaven. Amen. And I know this gets complicated. It can be overwhelmingly complicated. God is everywhere. God is omnipresent. And yet God is sometimes in special places in special ways. The omnipresent God came down and filled the tabernacle there in the wilderness. The omnipresent God came down and filled the temple with his glory. Getting ahead of ourselves, but Jesus is God. He's everywhere. And yet he's promised to be in his churches, in the midst of his churches, in a special way. And so God is omnipresent, but God is also in heaven. He is represented in Scripture as dwelling there. And thinking about heaven is good and beneficial for us because God is there. The almighty, omnipotent, sovereign God is there. He's not there bodily as Christ was there in the book of Revelation 4 and 5, but a description is given of him beyond comprehension. But he's represented as being there. Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father, which art
Where's he at?
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Psalm chapter 139. Psalm chapter 139. One of those passages of scripture, you ought to read the whole chapter and you get caught up in the wonder of all of it. But let's read verse 7 through 12. Psalm 139. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Look at what he says in verse 8. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light before thee. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. If I ascend up to heaven, he's there. And I know there are at least three heavens in Scripture. I don't think the psalmist was being real technical about just talking about the first one or the second one. I believe he's talking about heaven where God dwells. He's there. He's there. But there in John chapter 14, we need to think about heaven. And heaven is good therapy for those with troubled hearts, because God is there. But second of all, because Jesus is there. That's what Jesus plainly says in this passage of Scripture. In my Father's abode, my Father's dwelling place, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Look at what he plainly says. I go there. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. He's talking about heaven. He's plainly preparing them for his departure and his going back to the Father to have that glory that he had before with the Father. Where is Jesus right now? He's on the right hand of God. You'd be surprised how many times you find in Scripture reference to Christ being at the right hand of the Father. It's not just found one place. In my studies, I found it several places. The promise of the Son, Jesus Christ, being on the right hand of the Father. In case you can't tell, we've been in the book of Revelation. I've referred to it several times already. But I look at that first chapter of Revelation, and I see Jesus. As he appears now, in his glorified state, in that glorified body. So I believe Jesus Christ rose from the grave bodily. I believe he ascended back up to heaven bodily. I believe he's in heaven now bodily. I believe he's coming in one day for us bodily. And if you want to know what Jesus looks like, go to Revelation chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 2 and try to get a good picture of him. He's not the sissified, long-haired, effeminate man that many people portray him as. He's beyond description. But where does he appear that way? Before the Father. He's in heaven. Stephen was being stoned to death and the heavens were opened up. Do you think that really happened? I'm just dumb enough to believe it really happened. I tend to take the Bible pretty literal. I tend to believe exactly what the Bible says, unless the Bible tells me I need to take something in a spiritual application. Amen. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father in that glorified state, waiting for that instruction. As the song says, "Son, go bring my children home." But I was speaking of Stephen being stoned to death. The heaven was opened up to him. And what do you think he saw? Surprise! He saw Jesus in the right hand of the Father. Jesus in the right hand of the Father. So we need to think about heaven, and heaven will do us a world of good because of the fact that God is there, Jesus is there. Look at that second verse of our text, John. In my Father's house, abode, dwelling place, are many mansions, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Thinking about heaven will bless your heart. In these days in which we're living, thinking about heaven will calm your troubled heart because God is there. Because Jesus is there. But it'll bless your heart because of all the others that are there. In the Father's house are many mansions. I believe that speaks of the fact that there are many who have gone on before us that are in the heavens now. I believe absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I believe when the Lord comes again for his people, he's going to bring his people with him for the raising of their bodies. And I tell you, it'll bless your heart when you stop and think about all those who are in heaven right now. We're going to see him again. And I don't get all corny and I don't get all extra biblical and think we're going to hunt them up and walk around and go fishing together and just have a good old time. Heaven and eternity is about glorifying God. But yet the scripture does say we will be known as we are known. And as I spoke of a little while ago, over the last 45 years, many have gone on before us. They're in the presence of the Lord, and he's going to bring them with him on that great day when their bodies are going to be raised and glorified in the moment and twinkling of an eye. My dad's there. I have a grandma there. Sometimes I likened her to one of the main figures that saved my life when I was a kid. With all the problems that I had, Grandma Farley. So helped me. She's with the Lord.
When I was ordained those 45 years ago, I was just 20 years old. That's why Brother Bennett looks so old tonight. Because I was only 20 years old, but I think he was somewhere in his 40s. And I came into the ministry, and I came up at that age, and I came up alongside many dear brethren that I had sweet fellowship with. Blessed my heart. That I had preached for me many times, and they had me preach for them, and we had sweet fellowship at conferences. And they're with the Lord. Well, it'll bless your heart when you start thinking about all those who are in heaven. Maybe the most important part of this message, as we try to close, blessing, heaven will bless your heart, calm your soul, ease a troubled heart. Because when you think about heaven, you'll be reminded that God is there. You'll be reminded that Jesus is there. You'll be reminded of all the others that are there. But heaven will bless your heart and calm your soul and ease it. A troubled heart when you remember, we're going to be there. We're going to be there. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. You. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We're going to be there one day. Luke chapter 10, we're told by our Lord to rejoice, not because of our gifts, not because of any miraculous things God may use us to do or to accomplish. But the Lord told us to rejoice because our names are written. Where are they written? They're written in heaven. Amen. Written before the creation, the foundation of the earth. Amen. Rejoice, your names are written in heaven. Rejoice because Jesus says, where I am, there you're going to be also. Rejoice because Matthew chapter 6 says, where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Amen. This is beyond my comprehension. But let us rejoice because we're already there. In Christ Jesus. Amen. We're seated in the heavenly places. In Christ Jesus, we're already there. We're already guaranteed being there one day. So we need some heavenly therapy in the days in which we're living. God's people, the Lord's churches, the Lord's pastors, the Lord's men need to think about heaven. It's real. It's a hope laid up before us. God is there. Jesus is there. Think of all those others that are there who have gone on before us, and remember one day we're going to be there. Hang in there just a little bit longer. The greatest difficulty I have with my situation really is the uncertainty. It's a progressive disease, and you never know how it's going to manifest itself. And it manifests itself so differently from person to person. I don't like that sense of not knowing. In my mind, it will get the better of me, and I'll see the worse. I don't want to go there. But I've got to keep my eyes and my mind off of the uncertain.
Amen.
Keep my eyes on the certainty. I'm the Lord and He is mine. He's coming again. And one day I'm going to be in heaven with Him. I close. But give me just a couple minutes of your full attention. When we think about heaven, not everybody gets to go. There are some people who have a doctrine that seems like everybody's going to heaven. Well, not everybody's going. Not everybody who wants to go is going to get to go. You may be here and want to go to heaven. You've heard about it all your life. I want to go to heaven. You may not get to go. Don't take this personal. Not everybody here tonight who thinks they're going is actually going. These are God's things. The only way you can know you're going is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Are you going? I'm not asking you, are you a Christian? I'm not asking you till you got a real good dose of religion. I'm not asking you, can you impress everyone else with your piety and spirituality? I'm asking you, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? He's the only way, because verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. Are you going to heaven? Make sure you know you're going to heaven. Make sure you know why you are going to heaven. Make sure you know without a doubt Jesus Christ is your Savior. And all I can do is do what I see in the Scriptures. If there's any doubt in your mind, I would say repent. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thank you, brother.